Next, it's my privilege to ask our brother Mike McStravick to come forward and give us our words of exhortation.
Thanks, Dan. Good morning, dear brothers and sisters, young people. We still have a custom of never answering, so I'm good for that. But the reading in Thessalonians struck me that I can't think of another book that's more positive and encouraging, where the Apostle Paul is in fact, he seems like a bit of a cheerleader. Yeah, in the way he's writing his letter. And I thought, I want to be a cheerleader for a day. So I thought maybe we could have an exhortation around me being a cheerleader. We could have an exhortation around some of the positive pieces that the Apostle Paul highlights for us in Thessalonians. And so if we want to just open the Word of God to 2 Thessalonians, particularly the verse that caught my attention this morning, really was in verses 12 and 13, where it says, "We command and exhort such persons in the Lord Jesus Christ to work peacefully and to eat their own bread. But as for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary of doing good." And so I wanted to, I was just looking at a bunch of different online versions for maybe saying that a little bit differently. And I came across the Complete Jewish Bible, which is a dynamic equivalence translation. And so you remember a dynamic equivalence is a version which tries to take the original text and put it into a modern language and put the modern emphasis in it. So that's a dynamic equivalence translation. And so the New Jewish or the Complete Jewish Bible, back in verse 6, it says, "Now in the name of the Lord, the Messiah, we command you, brothers, to stay away from any brother who's leading a life of idleness, a life not in keeping with the tradition you receive from us." And then in verse 13, it says, "And you, brothers, who are doing what is good, don't slack off." So I thought that was an interesting characterization. And so this passage, though, reminded me reminded me back when I was at an old job that I had, where I realized with the kind of the cohort of individuals that I was working with at the time, they'd been in their job for a very long time, as I have been in my job for a very long time. Sort of 25, 30 years-ish. And this, though, was a group that was really starting to wind themselves down for retirement. You know, it was quite obvious to me that they were very content to just sort of coast for the rest of their time in their job. And there were some really good suggestions for things that we could do to improve. They're coming forward at the time, I remember. And these were coming forward into some of this group, and they were kind of, just like not really too enthusiastic about sort of embracing this energy and this sets of changes. Because that was going to be too mentally taxing maybe for them. And they just didn't really seem very interested in continuing to push through and to grow. And so what I was finding was that general attitude was prevalent amongst this group of peers that I was working with. And at that point in time, it wasn't where my mind was at. Now I was feeling, an environment like that was quite stifling. Really, in terms of the energy that was there or not there, was lacking, and the enthusiasm that we need to continue to motivate ourselves, to kind of push forward and to reach that finish line. And the reality was, we also had a mix of younger people too, who were looking up to this cohort of more senior staff, And they were looking for inspiration about to motivate them as well and bring them along in their journey, in their careers. And so, you know, I decided at that point that I wanted to sort of, you know, move and to try something a little bit different and go to a different environment where people would continue to be willing to work and to fix things that maybe not weren't working quite so well. And so, of course, the exhortation is not really about me and about my work, but rather about it was about a conversation that I had recently that reminded me of that moment in time, and also about yours and my situation here in our walk and in our working together towards God's kingdom. And now I'm speaking with a colleague, new colleague, a new job, about how much work we did have in front of us and how hard the staff have been really pushing and working long hours and continuing to drive to get this piece completed and meet the deadlines, etc. And he indicated to me that he had just sent out a note to cheer them on. He was being this cheerleader that I was talking about earlier. And to cheer them on at this last stage, and he likened it to the kind of the final push in a marathon. And he said to me, you know, it's not the beginning of the marathon that's the hardest. It's really the last part of the marathon that you have to continue to push yourself through. And so he was encouraging them on at the last pieces to keep up with the hard work that was needed. And so that's where it kind of struck me a bit, that's where I was at with respect to my walk in the truth. You know, it's like I'm in a marathon sometimes. If I find it tiring, and I feel like, you know, I'm just getting to this age where, you know, I prefer to just kind of pull back a bit. Just sort of maybe just coast along in my walk, and then the word of God comes our way through our scripture readings, and it brings us back to the spiritual ideal. But I think it feels a bit like we're all in a spiritual marathon together, but we may be at different stages of that marathon. And so this ecclesia is so blessed with such a diverse age group. I was privileged to see this morning again my grandson, who's less than coming up a month old, but a month old, all the way up to we have almost 100 years old in this ecclesia. We have almost every age in between. That's how blessed we are with the diversity of people that we have. And so I think that this morning I want to just use the opportunity, as I'd indicated earlier, by way of exhortation, to just offer appreciation for everything that you do. So if we turn back to 1 Thessalonians for a moment, chapter 1. First of Thessalonians chapter 1 says, in verse 2, says we always give thanks to God for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly keeping in mind your work of faith and labor of love and perseverance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the presence of God and Father, knowing, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, his choice of you. And again, if I'm going to use another translation, the one I really like, the J.B. Phillips New, it's again another dynamic equivalence translation. It says, similar, same passage as their verse 2, we are always thankful as we pray for all of you, for we never forget that your faith has meant solid achievement. Your love has meant hard work. And the hope that you have in our Lord Jesus Christ means sheer dogged endurance in the life that you live before God. I like that term, sheer dogged endurance. The Father of us all, we know that God not only loves you, but has selected you for a special purpose. Brothers and sisters, have you ever considered that? It's so amazing to remember that each one of us, each and every one of us here in this room and here also online this morning, has been handpicked, selected by God for a special purpose. And this selection isn't referring to us making a choice to be baptized. I mean, Jeremiah chapter 1, we all know, verse 5, Jeremiah was told directly, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So Jeremiah knows what his special purpose was. It was told specifically to him. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now, I don't pretend to confess that I would ever fully understand why God selected me out of all of the individuals on this earth. Me who is destined for another path. Yet he introduced me to the light of the message that gives me such a wonderful and blessed hope. And to think that he chose you and I before the foundation of the world to be destined, to be predestined as adopted children for some special purpose. Brothers and sisters, what do you think that special purpose is? Do you think that special purpose is for the kingdom of God? I don't think it can be for the kingdom of God. Otherwise, he could have chosen anyone for the purpose of the kingdom of God, because everyone has the same access to it. No, it has to be some special purpose that each one of you will fulfill, or either have fulfilled in the past, will be fulfilling in the present, or still into the future. You have a special purpose. Now, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we get this sense of Paul's eagerness to understand how his brothers and sisters in Thessalonica were getting on. It's like he could not endure it any longer. And so is in Paul's wonderment about how his brethren were doing in Thessalonica, he sends Timothy to find out, because he couldn't wait any longer. And so we have there in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2, it says, "We sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you for the benefit of your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this." Well, that word afflictions, I think it's a common, I looked into a few different translations, that term afflictions there. It doesn't necessarily mean physical beatings and verbal abuse, although it can. It can also just simply mean pressures. Like living in the world today, we have pressures. Pressures each and every day. Pressures to succeed. Pressures to be like everyone else around us. Pressures that we're not good enough. Pressures to conform to our beliefs, to those beliefs around us. And yet, let us not forget that God has still chosen you for something special. I give thanks to God for each one of you, because I understand and believe that he has picked each and every one of you. And so if God is for us, who can be against us? If we take that principle of being handpicked and use an earlier analogy that each one of us are in the same race, on the same team, part of the same family. And so as such, we all have different capacities to organize things, to spend time caring for people, to speak, to preach, to teach, to administer. All of those functions are necessary and so very important in an ecclesial setting like ours. And I'm so grateful to each one of you for using your capacity and your talents to its full potential. And so I keep coming back to this analogy of us being in a spiritual marathon. And some of you have been running for a very long time. And let's just say that the finish line is much closer than the start of the race. It's a bit like a relay. But one of the most important parts of a relay, and I was going to get Dan to help me do a demo of relay, but he's probably way too fast and he would just run right by me there. But you know, relays where a runner comes along and it has to pass the baton off to the next person. There's that point of transition, right? That we have in a relay. And that's the part that I wanted to just think about for a moment. I mean, I'm sure that some of you who've been running this race for a very long time, coming around that corner, and you're ready to pass that baton, you may not be seeing anyone to pass that baton to. And then the words of Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 come to mind. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not only to me, but unto all them that love his appearing. And so to you, I thank you so much for fighting the good fight. Thank you for keeping the faith. We also have another group here who are there in this race, who are waiting and watching as you prepare to take on that baton that's going to be passed your way or it's being waved in your direction. The thoughts that go through the mind. Am I ready for this baton? Am I properly trained? Can I take on this responsibility to go to the next segment? Well, a well-functioning team here considers those transition points. That those that are winding down their race and those who must now pass along the baton must initially match their pace with that of the recipient. Too fast an approach and they'll run right past them. Too sudden a pass doesn't allow them enough time to match their pace and they can often stumble. It's so important how we consider these transitions in order to set up the next person for success. And I'm so thankful that we have you who have stepped into the role and either taken the baton or are quietly waiting to take it on. Any casual observer would be able to see that at this time, those who are nearing the end of the race within our ecclesia exceed those who are closer to the beginning, which means that there is going to continue to be some much greater need to take up the mantle from others. There's so much capacity that needs to be filled. We're also blessed to have many spectators in our midst. Oftentimes, spectators are there watching how things occur in the event that one day they might feel comfortable maybe stepping into the void that gets created. Sometimes your role as a spectator helps to positively reinforce the efforts of the activities that are taking place around you. Sometimes spectators are there because they were once thriving and active participants at one point of their life, but can no longer contribute in the same way. And so your role now has shifted to that of a cheerleader to motivate others on in their in our collective race. Sometimes we may choose to become a spectator for a time that we catch our breath again and recharge. Work through some things. And that's totally necessary to do sometimes. And if that's our reason, however, we want to make sure that we are actively working to recharge or to work through whatever that is that we can, so that we can get back in and retake a baton. And so that brings us back then to all of the things that make up Paul's words in our reading this morning about how we cannot be found being idle and also working peacefully, and how those things ring true. Brothers and sisters, it was our Lord, wasn't it, who led this race? He cleared the path. He made sure that he had prepared his apostles for what was to come. And he helped enable their success to prepare them for the responsibility that was ahead of them. So in doing so, he has also enabled yours and my success. So as we confront this bread now, brothers and sisters, it is our Lord to whom we are also eternally grateful. As to now we can consider the life that was led in full obedience to the will of his Father, who showed us what truly selfless service is all about. We are in awe that our Lord never complained about all that his Father had called him to be. Never compared how much he was doing to anyone else. He never considered slowing down. When we share in this wine, brothers and sisters, we remember what he endured to make this even possible. He who now bears our griefs and carries our sorrows. Our Lord was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Even though we as sheep go astray and feel that constant urge to turn to our own way, yet God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And all the injustice that was brought against him every day of his life, and in all the demands that his brethren placed upon him, yet he opened not his mouth in complaint, nor objected to the fullness of the work for which he was called for. Our Lord clearly understood the special purpose that he was called for, and you and I understand exactly what that purpose was as well. To live a life filled with loving obedience to the Father, and to show you and I that it can be done. God knows that you and I cannot achieve that same standard that his Son was able to achieve, and yet we are still called for a special purpose. Despite are not maybe knowing what that special purpose what is that God has called us to, the way in which you and I can help ensure that special purpose is accomplished is to do the same as our Lord, to live a life filled with loving obedience to our Father's will. And despite the injustices being brought against us, and all the demands that our brethren might place upon us, let us not open our mouth in complaint or objection, and let us never weary of doing good. Brothers and sisters, I think we are nearing the last lap of our marathon. We can do this. We can help each other to the very end. As Romans 13 tells us, verse 11, do this, knowing the time that is the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us rid ourselves of the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Although it might seem harder than when we first began, we can be invigorated. Isaiah 40 and 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I'd like to close by doing a reading from Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 to 10. Galatians 6, starting at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for all that you do to bear one another's burdens. I trust you are doing your very best with what you can. Let us not become weary in doing good, brothers and sisters, for in due time we will reap.